Sorry about that. It wasn't working a little earlier, and I thought I'd give it one more try. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that we all have our minds open, ready to hear the Word of God, ready to take that in and let it transform our lives in the way in which God intends for it to do. And so looking forward to talking about that this morning, that the abundant goodness of God in our lives and the impact that it has on us. You know, the goodness of God, when we look throughout Scripture, has always been a huge trend, a huge benefit, a huge difference in people's lives. If you just think back to a few examples, and maybe you think back to Noah, in a time in which the world was so wicked that God was sorry he made the world, that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. The goodness of God called Noah to be a preacher of righteousness and an ark builder. And he did just those things. Think about Abraham, who was there living among his family in the Ur of the Chaldees. Here he's called out and he becomes the father of the faithful, the friend of God. The goodness of God came to Abraham. I think about Hannah in the Old Testament and thinking about her, how she had not had a child. And she certainly was praying for a child, and in her silent prayer, moving her lips, even the high priest thought that she was drunk or something. But here God blesses her with a child, and she raises him up to be a servant of God as she raises, or as she commits him, I should say, to God's service, Samuel. Think about David. David, who was just home taking care of his father's sheep, being a shepherd out there, sometimes all by himself. And as he worked those sheep, that he takes supplies to his brothers also. And here the messenger boy is seeing this blasphemous giant, and David becomes the giant slayer. The goodness of God was with him. Think about David, that even after he sinned, that he calls upon God to forgive him, to restore the joy of salvation. And we see that he's willing to change. I think in the New Testament about Peter, with the things that he goes through, the things he does, and he has to be corrected once in a while. But here he became a preacher that took the gospel to so many. And I think about Paul persecuting Christians. But the goodness of God came to him, and he became a Christian. He was forgiven, and he was able to go serve God in a way that was right. The goodness of God affects us deeply when we see how generous, how involved God calls us to be. God has rules we're to live by. He is a God of judgment. We do have obligations. But you see it being something so much larger when you come to understand how good God is. We've started singing a song, "The Goodness of God." Do you know the first line? "I love you, Lord. Your goodness never fails me." What a great song. What a great thought that we can share together in. And so today, I would like to talk about, for the few minutes that I have here, about the goodness of God in our lives and how it changes and how it impacts us, how it has this powerful effect in our lives. And I hope that you'll read along and that you'll study with me and think about these things. And maybe you could think about how the goodness of God has changed all these people. The goodness of God can change you as well. The goodness of God can make a difference in your life. Maybe you're like Noah and you look around and everyone around you seems to be doing wrong. But you're going to do right and you're going to share the gospel with people who don't even care about God. Maybe you're like Hannah and you're raising up children and you're going to train them to be servants of God in all the things they could be, and maybe you're very proud of their accomplishments, that the number one thing you want for those children is to be that they serve God faithfully. Isn't that the goal of every parent? Maybe you'd look at someone like the Apostle Paul and you say, you know, I've done some terrible things. But through the goodness of God, I can be forgiven. Can you put yourself in the place of some of these great people of faith? What kind of impact does the goodness of God have on your life? Well, I'd ask you to look with me. And when we think about the abundant goodness of God in our lives, I want us to think about for a moment how God loves us deeply. It's not a shallow, vague, kind of unspoken thing that we don't really get. God truly loves us. He's shown it in bold and powerful ways. And He is sacrificially giving to us. He is constant and personal in the way in which He loves us. If you think about some scriptures with me, in John 3:16, surely you know this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, we can be here today and we can praise God and we can serve Him and we can do these things because of how good God is. Of the fact that He has offered us a way that we were people who were unacceptable to God. We were sinning. We were sinners. And God sent His Son so that we could be forgiven. It's in the goodness of God that could happen. God so loved. He loves you so deeply. He loves mankind so deeply to offer us the hope of eternal life, even when we were enemies of His. When we think about the greatness and the goodness of God, you might also look over in Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. You know, Paul's making a point there. He says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God has shown His love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God showed His love for us. We were sinners. We were people who were opposed to God in every way. We were lost. And while we were still in that condition, you know, if someone's coming up to God, and they're on their knees and they're crying out, please make a way, please provide a way. But that's not when we sin how we are. The picture here is of us. The picture here is of us being rebellious against God. And it's not our goodness, but it is the goodness of God. That He's loved us so deeply, so abundantly, in such a huge way that we can be called the children of God. 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. Isn't that a great thought? We can love God because He loved us. And that statement there at the bottom, when I think about it, do I have any real value? Do you have any real value in the eyes of an almighty God, an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise God? Do you have any value before Him? And the answer is a resounding yes. He loves you intensely. His love gives us identity and worth. And our response here is that we love Him back. And we want to serve Him. I'm talking today about the abundant goodness of God in our lives, and the impact that it makes. When you come to realize that God has loved you so much, does that change how you are? Does that make you a more loving, caring person? I pray that it does. That you look at what God's done for us and you say, I want to do all I can for Him and for others. I want to have that godly characteristic in my life. The abundant goodness of God in our lives. I've got five of these. You've got one so far. So God blesses us truly abundantly. The blessings are both physical and spiritual. Sometimes we get focused on the spiritual things. I don't want to undermine that God blesses us with physical blessings. God pours it out. And we have the things we have and the measure of health we have and everything because God is a God who blesses. There in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6, Scripture tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Those blessings are found only in Christ. They are found in Christ. We have to be in Christ to receive those spiritual blessings. We have to be living in Christ to have those. But no one can have those without God. No one can have those without the goodness of God in their lives. You might also look with me there in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. You recall that Jesus is preaching and teaching, and He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Are you overwhelmed with anxiety, with worries, with trouble in your life? Do the sad things that happen get you down and make it very difficult for you to hold your head up and to serve God with great joy? Know this, God cares about you. He loves you and He has blessed you. And you need to sit down and focus and count the blessings. We sing Count the Blessings. Count the blessings that God has for you. Start enumerating them. The song I referenced recently, instead of counting sheep, count your blessings. God is so good, abundantly good, and He makes an impact in our lives. I appreciate that, Mark. He makes an impact in our lives. He makes a difference. We are so blessed in so many ways because of God. God doesn't just look at us and say, wow, what great people. You know what? I ought to send down some blessings on them. God looks at us in our need and how pitiful we are. And He says, these people need me. And when we realize we need God and all He gives to us, then we come to appreciate the blessings of God. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Wow.
Look at the power of this verse and the blessings of God. He uses the word, instead of forgetting not all of his blessings, the psalmist uses the word benefits. Don't forget how good God is to you in being beneficial to you. And it mentions some things there. He heals, he redeems, he crowns, he satisfies. We need to represent to the world around us how blessed we are. We have an almighty God who loves us, and we have brothers and sisters who really care about us. They want to see us succeed. They want to see us make it to heaven. There is no greater blesser than God is. He blesses us truly, abundantly. Count those blessings. I don't know about you. I have a thought that when I sing that song, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and I think, oh yeah, well, what a great thought to count the blessings. We have so many blessings. How about actually doing it? When you woke up this morning, what blessings from God did you have? When you got here, what blessings of God do you have? When you depart from here today, what blessings of God do you leave with? Start adding them up. And you'll probably need a calculator to look at the huge number that it will be. God loves us deeply, and God blesses us abundantly, and God gives our lives purpose and direction. You know, I look down through this list. I've known a number of children that did not know a parent's love. Children that have been in the system, Department of Children and Family Services. Some of you know that we were foster parents for about 30 children and got to adopt three of those. But they don't know what it's like to be loved. They don't know what it's like to live in a home where there are blessings that come just because you're part of that family. And it's hard for them then to find purpose and direction. But God loves us, that He blesses us. And part of that blessing is that He gives us purpose and direction in our lives. I'm impressed with what Jeremiah says. He says, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Now, that tells us something right there, doesn't it? God has plans for us, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. What's your future look like? I can tell you with certainty that you don't know what your future on this earth looks like. You don't know what good or bad may come. And even if you're preparing for the future, that could change dramatically. But I know the future that God has for us in eternity. And I know this, that no matter what happens in this life, if I'll stay faithful to God, God will continue to bless me. I will continue to have purpose. God will continue to use me. Can you believe that? God can use me. And if you look at yourself and you say, "Well, what value am I?" I want you to know very plainly, God can use you. God can use you. You may not be perfect. Well, I'm not perfect. The Apostle Paul wasn't perfect. You know, Noah, after the flood was over, he drank, became drunk. Abraham had a couple of occasions of lying because he had such a beautiful wife. He was afraid they would kill him. What a problem, right? People weren't perfect, but God could use them. 2 points. God can use you. He can use you in His service. And when you look around this room and you see lots of other Christians, know this, that God has purpose and meaning for them too. And God can use others in His service. And so we value others because they have purpose and meaning as well. Ephesians 2:10, and this is a passage you're familiar with. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Break that down. God set up a way that His people would live. And He wants you to live as one of His people. We are His workmanship. We are what God, when He created human beings, when we serve Him, we are what God designed human beings to be. Not our sin, not when we fail, but when we're doing His work, when we're praising God, when we are working in His kingdom, when we are giving thanks, when we are praying, and when we are studying, God says, that's My workmanship. That is what I want My people to be like. And I have prepared these works that they should walk in them, and that's what I want for them. Purpose and direction. There in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Trusting God that His way is the way. Not going on how it seems to you. Always thinking about God, acknowledging His existence and His authority. And walking in those paths that He sets out for us. God gives us purpose and direction in our lives because He is so good, and it impacts us so dramatically. It is our situation that every person goes through difficult times. You know, James wrote about it. He talks about trials. Jesus taught His disciples how to deal with times in which they were struggling. And you and I are like those people of God. That we face difficulties and troubles. And it's through God that we can have the strength. It can be a health issue. It can be a family issue. It can be a business issue. God strengthens us in those difficult times. I like this at the bottom of the screen. And what it tells us is, God doesn't say to us, you'll never have any troubles or trials as long as you follow Me. No, God doesn't say that. Look at the life of Job. Look at other people of God who struggled. But God says this, I'm with you. Each step You put your trust, your faith, your confidence in me. I'm with you every step. I'll stay with you. I'll not depart you. And here is Almighty God saying, together we can do this. Together we can face the most difficult day of your life. Together we can face the discouragement you face, whatever that would be. With God along with you, whatever pain, whatever ugliness, whatever difficulty, God will give you the strength. Well, look in Scripture, and I look at Philippians 4:13. This passage, this is not saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not saying I can bench press a Volkswagen. When I was young, I could pick up the back end of a Volkswagen, but I wouldn't want to try that right now. But it doesn't. It's not saying that. It's saying that I'll be content. If you look at the context around this, I'll be content. I'll live for God. I can do these things because our Father and our Savior is with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you look at Paul, the one who said this, well, what if I'm on a boat and it sinks? Yep, Paul could still serve God. What if I'm in the city, they get mad at me and they beat me and throw me out, and they think I'm dead, so they leave me? Yep, I'll still serve God. What if I'm hungry? What if I don't have the daily things I need? Yep, I can do it. I can still serve God faithfully. There in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, in the context of God dealing with his people, he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Praise be to God that he does those things. Praise be to God that he gives us his strength, his help. He upholds us when we are dismayed and discouraged and we don't know exactly what to do. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Paul's asking, I've got this thorn in the flesh. I don't know exactly what he was feeling. I'm picturing him being like, I'm out there trying to do all these things for the Lord. And as I try to do these things, it would be so much easier if I didn't have this problem. And so, God, would you take it away? And you know, I'll read this verse in just a minute, but you know what God's answer is? By continuing to serve me with the problem in your life, you're showing you trust me, and there is great strength and power in my grace. You're familiar with the words of this again. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God says, I'll be with you. My grace will be with you. I'll continue. Don't give up. And that will show. I don't know what Paul's problem was. If there have been a lot of guesses. But whatever it was, it's hard for you to go and do these things. It's all right. When people see that it's hard for you to do that, they're going to know that you trust God. And they're going to know how great God is. And Paul wanted to show people how great God was, not how great he was. God walks with us through the trouble, not always eliminating the trouble. I made a note for myself, and I don't know that this is original with me, but God's presence, you know what a greater than sign is in math? I have a greater sign there. God's presence is greater than the absence of problems. What if you had to say, you had to choose? I could have every difficulty and every problem taken away, but God wouldn't be with me. Or I can have all those struggles and problems and trials, but God's presence will be there. Which one? What would you pick? Would you have the greater than sign that says, having God is greater than any problem that I face? I said 5. If I'm counting right, that's 4. God gives us hope beyond this life. So far, we've kind of looked at how God loves us so deeply as we walk here on earth, and His blessings are abundant to us. And there's hints of eternity in all of these. He gives us purpose and direction in how we live, and He strengthens us in those difficult times. But the bottom line is, God gives us hope. What positive impact does the goodness of God have in my life? I have the hope to go to heaven. I am blessed in such amazing ways that God gives me, He gives you, something to look forward to. It allows me to live a life for Him that keeps eternity in view. And you know, it is such a great thing that God allows me to share that hope with others and to talk to them. I look here in John 14, 1 through 3, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, there's a lot of things to this verse, that last line. Where I am, there you can be also. We can be with Jesus. If I have friends coming to visit, we have friends coming to visit, and they say, we'd like to stay with you, and I say, okay, we'll get things prepared. They're probably not saying, wow, Paul and Cheryl are preparing for me. Imagine how glorious it's going to be. If they do say that, they're going to be sorely disappointed. But when Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you, and where I'm going to be, you can stay there with me in eternity. And I say, wow, that's the place I want to be. That's the place. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, Paul wrote, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory of God that is to be revealed in us, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. What's he saying? I've got a thorn in the flesh. I've had some trials. I've had some struggles. I've had to stand when no one else would stand with me. Paul talks about how he's been mistreated by people of the world, and he's been mistreated by Christians. Doesn't matter. He says, what God has for me is so much better. Don't you want to see what God has for you? When Titus is talking about this in chapter 1 and verse 2, Titus isn't talking, Paul's talking. Paul writes, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. God does give us something to look forward to. He gives us the ability to live with eternity in view. And I want you to think about that, that as you live through this life and you face everything you have to face, good things and bad things, that as a Christian, here you have a goal and something so much better. And what God has for us is so much better than anything this world can offer. And whatever we suffer, God's glory is greater. I suspect that when we're in heaven, sometimes you think about, well, how will I feel about, you know, that time that I really was upset? How will I feel about, you know, the way somebody, you know, what somebody said to me? How will I feel about that day that I was so sick and almost died? How will I feel about when my best friend in the whole world passed away? I suspect that the glory of God is going to be so great that I won't be able to think about anything else than being there with Him, than being in eternity with God. That impacts my daily life. I can think about heaven. That impacts how I live. And so as we look at these things and we think about the abundant goodness of God in our lives and its impact, all these things make our life better because God is so good and I serve Him. I want to please Him. I want you to think about just a couple of things as we wrap this up. His positive impact is evident in the things that we've talked about today. He makes our lives better. I suppose you could think about good, better, best, and He makes our lives best that we can have on this earth and in eternity, best there. Now, you might hear all this, you might say, well, that all makes me feel pretty good. While I'd be glad for you to be glad, I'd be glad for you to feel good about the goodness of God and how it impacts your life. I'd ask you, are you recognizing how good God is as you live each day? Are you focused on that? Can you make that part of your meditation each day? Do you respond to His love that when you see all these blessings of God, all this goodness of God in your life, you say, okay, I need to serve God today because look at what He's done for me. And I want to just, what I do, you know, here's God's blessing, the huge things, and here's what I can do. But I'm going to do it with all my heart because I love God so much. Because I'm thankful for what He's done for me. And then we'll offer the invitation. The God who has already been so good to you, will you accept His love, obey the gospel, and receive His promises? Would you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins can be washed away? You know what it'll make you? It'll make you a Christian. It'll make you a child of God. It'll add you to the church. Jesus. Jesus' church. God will add you to His Son's church. If you're not faithful, if you've done things that are shameful, ought not to be something a Christian would do, would you turn away from that and ask God for forgiveness? Maybe at the invitation, I realize more and more how good God is and how the goodness of God impacts our lives. Don't wait another minute. Respond in obedience. Respond to this goodness of God. He wants you to be saved. But he won't save you outside of your will to be lost. You have to respond to him in loving obedience. If you need to, we offer you that opportunity, as I'll invite you to stand and sing the invitation song.